Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Talking Metal. We got some great guests today, and we got some new intro music here sent in by a Talking Metal listener. I think this guy sounds great. Blake Scorpino. Check this out as we get into the podcast. Hey, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. And we got a lot of talking going on here today. We have three guests. My friend, who is a writer, his name is John Wiederhorn. He wrote the new Scott Ian book, which if you haven't read, it's a must-read for all fans of Anthrax and all fans of heavy metal music in general. Definitely check that book out. He's written some other great books. He's going to tell us about those, including Louder Than Hell, which I've spoken about before in the podcast. It's a great read. We also have Connor Garrity from the band All Hail the Yeti, met up with him, and Richie Cavalera, who is, of course, has a familiar last name, you know, Max Cavalera. We're going to talk to Richie about his band, Insight. Richie is the son or stepson, I'm not exactly sure, of Max, and we're going to talk to him all about... the band Insight that have a new record coming out, so stay tuned for that. So right now, let's get into some music. This is a song I was turned on to back when I was working on that metal show last season. Somebody slipped me a CD. You'll hear that story later. And wow, it blew my mind. The band is Insight, again, featuring Richie Cavalera. This song is called Fallen, again off 2014's Up in Hell.
We'll be right back.
a little insight off of the 2014 release, Up in Hell. That song was called Fallen. Go buy it on iTunes and support the band Insight featuring Richie Cavalera. Stay tuned for my interview with Richie later. Want to also recommend that everyone help out Rich Ward, who we know from Fozzy and we know from Stuck Mojo. Stuck Mojo has a new lineup. Rich and Frank are still a part of it. They've been on every Stuck Mojo record. And they need your support with their Pledge Music campaign. So do me a favor. I tell you what, instead of giving me a donation or using the Amazon links to make your purchase like you guys usually do, do me a favor. Go support Rich Ward's band, Stuck Mojo. Get this download when you make a pledge on the Pledge Music page, which I will have a link through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com for this episode. This song, a little sound sample of this song, is called Verbal Combat. Check it out, brand new Stuck Mojo, and support Stuck Mojo by visiting their Pledge Music campaign page. Brand new Stuck Mojo, Verbal Combat. To get the full version, go to their Pledge Music campaign page and make a donation. Cool. Rich Ward is a great guy if you don't know him. Really talented dude. Anyways, let's get into my interview with Connor Garrity from All Hail the Yeti. This is some brand new music by that band. It's called Let the Night Roar, again, by All Hail the Yeti, followed by my interview with Connor. Hey, this is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are here with Connor Garrity, the vocalist of All Hail the Yeti, who have a brand new record coming out, which I've heard. It sounds excellent. Connor, welcome to New York.
Oh, thank you, man. Pleasure to be here.
Now, you guys blew into town earlier today, and it's just been nonstop ever since.
I got here yesterday we left pretty early from LA, but, we've been up doing this all day, so... It's been great, man. We're having a blast.
Cool. Well, I got to preview some of the tracks off of Screams from A Black Wilderness. It's the new record. It's on the way. Let's talk about this record. How do you compare it to some of the previous stuff that you guys have done? Is it evolved to a new stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any musician on their second record, you want to make sure that you step it up a bit and focus on the fact that it's your second record, but you don't want to change too much. So, as musicians, we're definitely a little bit more grown up and mature than we were 4 years ago when the first one came out. And even before that, when we wrote a lot of those songs. So yeah, it's definitely a progression, to say the least, for sure.
Cool. And this, marks the 10-year anniversary of the band. When you look back over that 10 years leading up to this point, what are some of your highlights?
We've been fortunate to do a lot of things. Touring Europe in the UK was one of them, and doing a few really, really big tours with some big bands, 2013 and 14. Honestly, everything everything that we get to do is something that is a blessing for us. So, you know, even playing a show in front of, you know, 30 people in Manhattan is something that I never thought I would ever be doing. So I take everything and take it very seriously and very thankful for everything that we get to do.
Cool. Let's go back and talk a little bit about the record. You have some, well, there's a special guest on the record. Brock from 36 Crazy Fists is involved. Can you tell us about his involvement with the record?
Yeah. You know, we've done a couple tours with those guys. We did Europe and UK with them in 2015, and we did, you know, the US in 2014 with them and Insight. And Brock has been a good friend of mine for God, going on 15 years. So when we started the new record, we knew we wanted to have him on it just at some, you know, at one, some point or another. And when we wrote Mr. Murder, which was written about a friend of mine that passed away, that Brock was also friends with as well, we just felt like that was the, you know, the perfect fitting song to have Brock on, you know, and me as a vocalist, I, you know, he's one of my bigger influences, and he just got such a cool voice, and his style is really, really cool. So we thought it would work really well.
Cool. Now, you mentioned Insight. You actually do a guest appearance on their record, correct?
I do. Yeah. I don't know if, have you announced the song yet? I don't know if I'm allowed to like let the song name out, but yeah, it's a song called Life's Disease, and they, Richie hit me up about it. And, you know, at first I was pretty intimidated. It's they're a pretty, intense band. So for me as a vocalist, I've been doing a lot slower, more kind of, I guess stonery kind of shit. So when Richie hit me up, I was, you know, at first and intimidated, then he played me the song or sent me the song, and I'm like, oh, okay, I can, you know, I can do something with this. So, and it turned out awesome, and we're super happy with it. I had a blast, you know, I got to hang with Steve Evitz and track with him. And then, you know, then they did the video for it, which they had me down for too. So it was pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Got to do some crazy, insane asylum stuff, and I don't want to give away too much for them, but yeah, it was great.
Right on. Now, you mentioned the stoner word, and I hear you know the name stoner metal, stoner rock get thrown at you guys, sludgy, you know, and that seems to be such a vague term. You know, bands from like you guys are Queens of the Stone Age. You might even hear, you know, I mean, it just goes all over. Do you like being categorized as stoner rock or stoner metal? And do you think that's a right fitting title for you guys?
Honestly, being categorized to anything is tough other than just metal. You know, I mean, we play heavy music and there's so many subgenres and sub genres now that it's tough to even really, you know, a lot of people ask like, what would you describe your music? And it's just, I mean, it's metal, you know, it's not fast. It's not slow. I don't know. But I mean, to be called stoner, it doesn't necessarily bother me too much. I wouldn't consider us a stoner metal band. But we definitely have that elements, and that's all it is blues riffs, you know, and added with some distortion. So I'm not singing about being stoned. I'm not a stoner per se. So it doesn't bug me, but I wouldn't consider us to be a stoner band at all.
Gotcha. Cool. What about touring plans?
We've got some stuff coming up next. Well, next week is our album release party at the Whiskey A Go-Go. And then we do the NorCal Tattoo Convention with Flotsam and Jetsam and Death Angel, and then we play with Intronaut in Orange County, and then we've got a couple things in the works that we're not really at liberty to talk about yet. But yes, definitely it's going to be a full-on as soon as the stuff gets confirmed, and once the record comes out, we're going to be nonstop.
Right on. Obviously, you know, the music industry has changed and evolved over the past couple decades. And what I hear from so many bands is that it really is a struggle to go out and do this financially and keep the show on the road a lot of the time. What can supporters of your band do to further your cause and help you guys out and support what you do?
What
are the most important things? Is it buy the CD? Is it buy merch? Is it show up to gigs?
Well, I mean, showing up to gigs for sure is the first thing. You know, we get our guarantee regardless, you know, if 30 people show up or 300. But if you don't come, you can't buy our merch. And buying our merch is that's the number one way we make any type of money. You know, CDs, t-shirts, anything that there's at the table, even if a drummer's selling a drum head that he drew on, I mean, that stuff is played that night and it's really personal. So there's just so many things the night of the show that make such a difference to us, whether it's putting gas in our tank to get us to the next venue or food in our stomach so we can eat and be healthy for the next day. I think that's probably the most important thing, and buying records too, you know. A lot of people are doing the Spotify thing and downloading, and mind you, at this level that we're at, it doesn't really affect us too much because we're not, you know, we're not getting 60 million plays or whatever. So our, you know, our check wouldn't be as big as, you know, some of these artists. But for me, I'm like 50-50 with the whole streaming thing, because I've personally found a lot of bands that I would have never found from those websites. And I'd like to think that that's a way for other people to find us, right, by doing the same thing, you know, looking at related artists, being like, oh, what's this band? All Hail the Yeti. Let's check it out. And then they become a fan before they've even, you know, they've never heard of us before. And then when we do come to their town, they'll be like, oh yeah, I heard of them on Spotify. I want to go buy a shirt and a CD and t-shirt or whatever, and meet the guys and get a thing signed or something. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but, and again, I think it's a vicious cycle, but yeah, I mean, coming to shows and spending money is the best way.
Excellent. Connor, it's been great talking with you, and we encourage the Talking Metal listeners to check out Screams from a Black Wilderness. It's the new record. It's it'll be out by the time you hear this, April 8th, right? April 8th? Yep. So by the time the listeners hear this, it will be out. Earlier in the show, we heard the song Let the Night Roar, which I just love. What else can we play for the Talking Metal listeners off the new record right now?
What would be my favorite? Mr. Murder would be the next one. Yeah, the one with Brock. Yeah, that's a pretty special song to me. So, yeah, Mr. Murder.
Okay, here we go, Mr. Murder.
This cancer was
What you just heard was some new music by All Hail the Yeti. And before that, we heard my interview with Connor from the band All Hail the Yeti. Go support these guys, buy their new album, and give them a like on their Facebook page and do whatever. Check them out when they come through your town. Good stuff. Good stuff. And it was fun hanging out with Connor and Richie. I did the interview back-to-back with those two guys in Connor's hotel room. They were both together, and when we hear from Richie later, you'll hear him reference the Connor interview because he was literally just sitting there having a drink on the side of the bed where Connor and I were sitting doing the interview. So there you go. Right now we're going to hear some new Anthrax. The title track off the new Anthrax album, which I think is just a killer record, followed by an interview done in my car with John Wiederhorn. John and I did this interview on my iPhone right in the car right before we went in to see Don Jameson at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. Don Jameson from That Metal Show was hosting a night of bands there, and John and I were hanging out, had some drinks at Dingo's, went to my car, did this interview, and then went and saw Don, who was hosting some bands at Dingbats. So here we go. Little Anthrax followed by my interview with John Wiederhorn. This is brand new Anthrax.
Back! Hey, this is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are joined right now by writer John Wiederhorn. John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
I wanted to talk to you about your books, because I've read two of the books, Louder Than Hell, and also the Scott Ian I Am the Man book, and I just got the Al Jorgensen book, so I'm looking forward to reading that. But let's start with Louder Than Hell, which was just this massive book. How many pages was that?
About 750 pages. And you can kill large bugs with it, so it kind of has a multitude of purposes.
Yeah, and it's a great history lesson, and it just spans all the different styles of metal, and gives you a breakdown on all these different styles. And it heavy metal and hard rock, it's just become such a enormous spanning thing when it comes to different musical styles. So Let's talk about how you went about researching all these styles. Which of the styles were you already, maybe all of them, but were you already a really big fan of and well-versed on?
Well, I grew up in, the late 70s and 80s. So I was, I started out as a big fan of like AC/DC and Van Halen and Rush, and then evolved to Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. A lot of the new wave of British heavy metal stuff. Then I heard thrash and was just blown away. I don't think I heard Metallica first. The first thrash band I probably heard was Slayer, and it was on a compilation album that Metal Blade had put out. It just totally revolved my world. And from there, I went on this sort of quest to find the heaviest thing that I could possibly listen to that had been put on vinyl. At the time, there was nothing more extreme than bands like Possessed, Death Angel. Dark Angel. Death Angel were cool too, but Dark Angel were almost death metal. And the German thrash bands, Sodom, Destruction, and Creator. I was all about that. It was an interesting quest for finding what would annoy my parents the most.
And the writing aspect of being a fan of this stuff started young for you, right? You were working, did you have a fanzine?
No, I didn't have a fanzine. I actually worked for my high school newspaper and okay. did a bit of writing on music until I was asked to leave for not being dedicated enough. I wasn't interested in going to the printer and sitting with all the clicky kids who would write up all the headlines and all that. It just didn't interest me, and I didn't have a car, so it was difficult to get there. So that was the first job I was let go from, but I was really dedicated to the music, and I read the British press ravenously. I was a huge fan of Kerrang and Metal Forces. Metal Hammer came later. And then in the U.S., there were fanzines that were great, like Kick-Ass by Bob Muldoney, who sadly is no longer with us. So I got in touch with a lot of the underground stuff that way, but mostly it was just combing through record stores and just trying to find the wildest album covers and the bands that groups I liked were talking about in interviews.
Right on. So you go from writing for the high school newspaper and, being this fan of heavy metal music, but when do you actually start writing professionally about hard rock and heavy metal?
Well, in college, I did a lot more writing. They were receptive to having me write about bands.
Where'd you go to college?
Boston University. Okay. I was in a school of journalism. So, but what was a real breakthrough for me was going to England for my senior year. I did a semester abroad. And it was with a communication school, Boston University, and they hooked you up with a job within the field. Now, they wanted to hook me up at a magazine called History Today, and my heart sunk. And I went back to the administrator and said, "Ooh, do you have anything maybe in the field of music or entertainment?" And they said, "Well, we're sorry, Kerrang is filled, but there may be a spot at this magazine, Melody Maker. Would you be interested?" And I didn't know that much about Melody Maker at the time. But it was one of the three major weeklies that existed in England for a really long time. And it was a fantastic introduction to a whole bunch of great British psychedelic pop and alternative rock, but they didn't really
Melody Maker was around back in the 60s, right?
Oh yeah, they started as a jazz magazine in like the 30s. But they didn't really have many people who liked metal. They kind of sneeringly turned their noses up at it, but they knew they had to cover it. So they were willing to give me stories. The first review I did was Faith No More at the Marquee, and I got to do some cool interviews for them. So that was really a great breakthrough.
This was a job or an internship?
It was an internship, right. A semester abroad.
Right.
But then when I got back to the States, my senior year of college, they let me string for them. So, you know, for about $15 a story, I got to review some really cool stuff, metal and non-metal, and it just opened up the gates. I ended up doing a metal column for Tower Records magazine at the time, which was called Pulse.
Right, I remember that.
And so I did their metal column, which was awesome. And they started giving me articles on metal bands. And just gradually and progressively, I just kind of built up my portfolio and worked through the ranks of all the different places that would write about metal.
Cool. So you've done writing Revolver and Rolling Stone. What other major outlets have you written for?
I've done some stuff for Spin when it was a magazine, not a website. I was the entertainment writer or the music writer for Stuff magazine for a while.
Right.
Guitar World I've written for a long time. Right now I'm writing for Loudwire, which is a really cool website. I did a bunch of metal stuff for Yahoo as well. So I've been able to do, you know, a lot of writing for a bunch of different places, which was great. I mean, in the 2000s when magazines were still really selling and publishing regularly, you know, there were an abundance of places that were open to you know, good articles.
Okay, we mentioned the Louder Than Hell book, which is just a great heavy metal history lesson. Great, great book. Highly recommended. Also, I recently finished reading the I'm the Man Scott Ian book that you co-wrote with Scott. Where did you meet Scott, and how did you get to know Scott?
That was a lot of fun. I actually met Scott years and years ago. I think the first interview I did with him was for Power Metal Magazine, which was a kind of sister publication of, I believe, Hit Parade, if I'm right. I'd interviewed Scott numerous times through the years. I've written bios for the band, for the record labels, and we always got along really well. And then when I was the editor of Headbangers Ball blog, I thought Scott would be really great to do a guest column because, you know, he's a smart guy and he's very articulate. And he wrote a really interesting column on his experience with alcohol over the years from childhood to adulthood. Self-deprecating, really funny, ranging from when he was just completely shit-faced to his discovery of fine wines and single malt scotches. So when I got the offer from HarperCollins to do Louder Than Hell, and I needed someone to write the preface, I thought Scott would be great, and so I got Rob Halford to write one, and then Scott wrote the other. And really, it was an interview with Scott, a long interview over the phone that I then turned into a narrative that read like he wrote it. Sent it to him for his approval, and he said, "Man, this looks like I wrote it." And I said, "Well, Scott, you know, you told it to me." And he said, "No, but this looks like exactly what I would say." And I said, "Well, this is what you said, you know," and right. And we put it together. He's like, "Yeah. No, I really like it. It's great." And I said, "Well, cool. I'm glad this is what we're going to go with. And, you know, if you're interested in doing your own book anytime down the line." And he said, "Yeah, you know what? Actually, I am." And that opened the doors. And from there, the communication just continued. And it turned into a great experience.
Yeah, and it's a great read. It's not only for fans of Anthrax, but you see the heavy, like a lot of heavy metal history just in the book through the eyes of Scott Ian, and I highly recommend that book. Really couldn't put it down, a real page turner. What else is happening book-wise? Let's talk about the book you did with Al, which I just purchased. I haven't started reading it yet, but how did that all come about?
That was also a blast. I've been a huge Ministry fan, really, ever since I discovered The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste, and then went back and got into The Land of Rape and Honey, and then even discovered their more electronic, less metallic stuff, which I thought was cool, but I didn't like quite as much. But at that point, Al was and Paul Barker were full on going for the aggro metal sound. So I thought it was like the heaviest, scariest thing I'd ever heard at the time, and it was awesome. And I interviewed him, I think, for the first time when he did Filth Pig, and then followed up with a couple other interviews, including one.
What was that, 96? I saw that tour at Roseland. That was a great, great show.
Yeah, yeah, that was, it was funny. He was either completely on or completely out of it, because at the time he was in the throes of heroin addiction. So he was a really unpredictable kind of guy. That went on through the next album, Dark Side of the Spoon, which I did a big interview with him for Guitar Magazine, where I was working at the time. But then, since I knew he was such a great interview, because he always had great stories, and he's really funny and witty and just really entertaining, I thought he would be great for Louder Than Hell, because I wanted to do a chapter on industrial metal. So I caught him after he'd done some shows with Revolting Cox. It was the day after, and he was still extremely hungover and cranky. But we just have a great rapport, and he was laughing, and I was laughing. And I started asking him for some good dirt. And he said, you know, man, I'm just living in Texas now. I'm a good old boy and just a family man. And, you know, I don't want my neighbors getting all worked up about something I say in some crazy book. I was like, all right, well, you know, what can you say? He's like, well, I could tell you stuff, but let me tell you, why don't you come visit me in Texas off the record? Just come on out here, leave your tape recorder at home, and I will have you pissing yourself, but you can't write about any of it. And although that was an amazing invitation, I just couldn't take him up on it because it involved travel and I'm off work and I had kids. And so I let that one pass, but then the next time I interviewed him about the craziest rockers of all time or something for a Revolver piece, he again extended the exact same interview. I'm sorry, the exact same invitation. And I said, Al, man, the minute you say I can write your book, I'm there. And he's like, you know what? Let's do it. Why don't you come out here? Let's do it. Let's have you write my book. And I was hoping he wasn't blowing smoke up my ass or that this wasn't something that was just spontaneous at the time. Kind of declaration, but it came to pass, and we put the pieces together, shopped the book around, got a great deal, and I got to spend 2 weeks with him in his compound under various states of insane inebriation, only on alcohol. He doesn't, weed too, but that's all he does. But he just shot forth with such incredible...
Just basically sober for somebody like him, right?
Pretty well, when he's blasted, he can act like the most sober guy you've ever met. Yeah. So the funny thing is, I'd asked him the same question 2 or 3 times because I was shit-faced. But he'd forgotten or he had a good sense of humor. And God, he told some amazing stories, most of which are in the book, some of which we couldn't print for legal reasons.
But okay.
He spins amazing tales. And he's a really smart guy, and he's had an outrageously debauched and insane rock and roll past, which ends with a bit of redemption because he kicks heroin, gets back on the, on the straight and narrow, and keeps making music. So, you know, he may not be playing in stadiums anymore, but I think he's still a real admirable figure.
Cool, absolutely. I can't wait to read that book. I've enjoyed the two other ones I mentioned, the Scott Ian one and the Louder Than Hell book. Any other books that we should know about, or is it just those three at this point?
Well, right now I'm a little more than halfway through a book on Roger Moret from Agnostic Front.
Okay.
It's his authorized biography. And it's going to be coming out in early 2017. So far it's coming out amazing. He has an incredible history. You know, not only was he front and center at during the whole crossover period of hardcore and predating that with the New York hardcore scene, which he was a pioneer of, but he has this insane background, which includes being a Cuban immigrant, living in a terribly abusive family, both with his father and his stepfather, and being beaten and abused, and he ran away from that to live on the Lower East Side in New York with a bunch of other kind of misfits and outcasts who were part of the punk community there. And it wasn't the Lower East Side like it is today. I mean, it was a slum.
Right.
It was a ghetto. It was crime infested. There were gangs everywhere. And, you know, these guys squatted, built places to live out of abandoned buildings, and really had to fend for themselves, duking it out all the time. And they formed these bands, you know, partied their asses off, did insane amounts of drugs, and got in these crazy, crazy, wild, deadly fights. And for me, that was the real difference between, say, like a thrash metal or death metal scene and the crossover scene. When I did Louder Than Hell, I did a chapter on crossover metal. And when I talked to these guys, you know, Roger from Agnostic Front and Harley from the Cro-Mags, you could tell that, whoa, these guys lived it. It wasn't just music. It was survival.
Right.
So that's what made me think it would be a really cool thing to do a book on Roger, and he loved the idea, so we did a couple sample chapters, and he thought I caught his voice really well, and it's just going really great.
Cool.
He spent 18 months in jail for cocaine. He was delivering cocaine and got busted, and really did hard time and experienced prison riots and all kinds of things that you don't read in your normal kind of riotous rock and roll biography.
Right.
This is much more gritty and harsh. And ultimately, it's also a tale of redemption because he comes out of jail, he gets his act together, you know, he becomes a family man, and he keeps his band going while he's working as an electrician on the side.
Wow.
So, he's I think, a really a good role model. Strange as it is to say, for somebody who delivered coke and beat people's heads in.
Right on. Right. So, John, where's the best place people can get in touch with you online?
Really, the best place is probably at my AOL address, which is, and I do answer emails, so anybody who wants to contact me can reach me at deafend, that's spelled D-E-A-F, like I can't hear you, I'm deaf, E-N-D, like the end. deafend@aol.com.
And are you on Twitter or anything like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's Louder Than Hell is my Twitter handle.
Cool.
Still say handle?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I'd be happy to answer questions and converse there too. Trying to get more active with it because all this technology is sometimes a little overwhelming for people who didn't grow up in an age of that, that digital
right
material.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, John, on Talking Metal.
There you go. My conversation with John Wiederhorn. Check out his books. He's a great guy. Follow him on Twitter. We'll have his Twitter account linked through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And last but not least, my interview with Richie Cavalera. Here it is.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we have Richie from Insight here in Lower Manhattan. The band has a new record on the way called Oppression. Richie, I wanted to tell you, your dad turned me on to Up in Hell, the last record, which was just a great record. I was working on That Metal Show season 14, and he was waiting to go on stage, and he comes up to me real sly, and he like slips me the CD, and he's like, "You got to check this out," which I just thought was awesome. Only later did I realize it was you, his son, in the band. Let's talk about Up in Hell, record that I loved, and the new record, Oppression. What are the main differences between these? Are you guys evolving to a new sound? Let's describe the differences between the last record and this new record.
First off, I got to thank the old man for the street team work. I mean, that's awesome to hear that.
I swear to God.
That hit me off guard. But I think, having a consistency of members. On Up in Hell, we brought in a whole new lineup. So it was a test phase for us, man, to really see what was going to happen with the new guys and, the vibe they wanted to bring. And I think from day one, it was just a pure metal, there's something missing out there, and it's this pure metal vibe that, hasn't been around since Lamb of God really brought it back, And I felt with us and the guys that we had that we really tapped into that well, and it came from a lot of influence. And when we came time to have a impression written, it was like, man, we had a bond built from touring and playing, and you know, we just knew that each guy was in it for the long haul. And to make this record, it was just like, you know what, let's make a metal record that just shoves it up your ass, you know. And in the end of the day, you feel like it's something that's been missing for a while, you know. Like Connor said, and other people have said, you know, these genres that are popping up are, you know, insane in the music industry. So to finally just come out with a pure metal album just felt good and right for us at the time.
Cool. And you mentioned Connor, and there's actually other guests. Let's talk about the guests that you have on this record. I know of at least two, right? Yeah. Special guests. Tell us who they are and what they're doing on the record.
Yeah, Connor from All Hail the Yeti. You know, he was a first choice. We had toured with them, and, you know, we're label mates and really have built a killer bond between the two bands. And I think the song just fit perfect. The second I heard it in demo stage, it was like, yo, we're having Connor on this. And, you know, we might have freaked him out a little bit when we hit him up with it, but he came in and just owned it and just has this Ministry Al Jorgensen old school vibe to it that just blew us away. So it worked out killer. And then you have Jose Mangan on I Want It All, and that's just our anthem and our salute to heavy metal. You know, it starts out with him yelling heavy fucking metal, and I think that just sets the song up perfectly. You know, it just vibed out real well, and both the guests we had were perfect for the album. And that's definitely a part of Insight that we love. You know, on Up in Hell, we had Liam Cormier from the Cancer Bats. And, you know, I see into the future us definitely having more and more guests and just really vibing out, because I think it's cool to intertwine these genres and bring them together and show fans, hey, it's not about this metal or that metal. It's about the overall vision of what metal is and bringing it together.
Cool. Now, you guys have been called let's see, somebody was calling you a politically outspoken group. Do you agree with that statement? And B, do you care to comment on what's currently happening politically in the United States?
Oh, definitely. I mean, not necessarily political, but I think more world event. You know, I think songs like False Flag, Tyranny's End, you know, things that we've had in our past that focus on what's going on in the world during the time that we've written these albums. And, you know, with Oppression, Nothing Changed, we had a song called Oppression, you know, self-titled, and, you know, the chorus is war, poor, rich, hate, you know. And I always think of, you know, just traveling the world and seeing different situations that go on, and always coming back to America and thinking of the money that we go through, and some of these other countries are better and more organized and more clean, and, you know, you just feel like we're just a fucking mess, you know, but a good mess, you know, that at least has sympathy and cares for the world. And, you know, our political situation is whatever, you know, it happens every 4 years. It's nothing different. You know, there's always some crazy bastard saying crazy shit and whatnot. But, you know, as far as politics exactly, I don't really indulge in it. I don't really vote. I don't really care about it. I think it's all just a fiasco. And with two-party systems, you'll never really have a true person that is there for the people, because it's always going to be about money. I think the lobbyists and the super PAC shit is an absolute joke. You know, I think anybody with money can get elected. You know, it's a matter of having a voice and opinion that isn't the spoon-fed shit that we've been having our entire lives. So it definitely comes into our band. You know, it's a part of all of our lives, and I think if you don't talk about it, you're kind of just you know, hiding the truth of what's going on. So we've always been about life and the moment, and that's definitely what expresses Insight, and to be against everything else.
Now, your dad and your uncle always have the word Brazilian attached to them, but you're born and raised in the States, right?
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm actually his stepson, so I was, you know, born, raised in America, and, you know, I love the heritage that comes from Brazil and everything. I've definitely done my research and, you know, lived with the family there and, you know, went through all that. But as far as, you know, being a part of the Brasilia, it's not me. I represent Cavalera, and I'll take that to my grave, because, you know, Max is my true father and always been there for me. And I think the Brazilian fans are passionate, man. They love their metal, and, you know, I love to see that they care about Insight in that way and want us to feel off that vibe.
Cool. So what's happening next for Insight? Are you guys heading out in the road? Will it be more promotion? What's the next phase of attack?
Well, the album will come out April 22nd, and then we have Devil Driver, Holy Grail, Insight, and Hemlock hitting the States. And, man, it's going to be an insane tour. We've already done 55 shows this year overseas in the UK and Europe. And, you know, it's only March right now. So, I mean, we're chugging along, man. Our goal is to do about 200 shows this year. So after Devil Driver, we're going to move back to Europe, I think, and do some festivals and headline gigs over there, and then back to America for some of these summer festivals that we got going on. So it's a nonstop, man, for at least the next 2 years. So exciting.
You know, I know you're pretty tuned into the scene and have a feel for what's going on. What bands lately have excited you? And they don't just have to be metal bands, just in general. What music or bands have been stuff you're checking out lately?
Man, I'm not too hip in the new age of stuff. You know, like I said, I think in my taste of music, it's been missing, you know, the pure metal vibe. I think a lot of bands aren't really capturing on it, and they're just kind of going for what sells and what's trendy. And, you know, it's been kind of disappointing. But I think, you know, bands like All Hell the Yeti, they're not new, but, you know, people are just finding out about them, which is great. And bands like Psilosis out of the UK, who's a cool new band that I found. And, you know, King Parrot from Australia, they're insane. Lord Dying, man, from Oregon. If you haven't checked them out, please do. They're a three-piece, no bass player live, and they just, you just get sucked in like a trance, you know. It just, they have it on all stages. It's like a doom metal, but just really cool. And I'm real old school too, man, so I always like my Journey in there no matter what.
Cool. Richie, thanks so much for talking with us on Talking Metal. And to take us out here, what new Insight track can we play off of Oppression for the Talking Metal listeners?
This is I think the monster track. It was the first single, and it just gets your head grooving and vibed out. It's called Stagnant.
Here it is, guys. Stagnant off the new album, Oppression by Insight.
Right on, man.
Be so worthless and dumb.
What you just heard was my interview with Richie Cavalera, followed by a brand new track by the band Insight. Definitely support Insight. Go pick up their new record. And that's going to do it for today's show. I appreciate you guys listening. I'm about to get on a plane and head to Las Vegas to see Guns N' Roses. I'm very psyched for that. So should be fun. A lot of fun stuff coming up. We got Guns N' Roses tickets this summer for the July gig at Giant Stadium in the New Jersey area, in New Jersey, in the New York City area, and checking out Sabbath this summer. One of my favorite bands, which are not metal and probably a lot of you guys don't like, but Weezer, checking them out this summer too. Going to see my friend Michelangelo Badio play in Queens in a few weeks. And a lot of fun stuff on the map, or on the calendar, I should say. Whitesnake, I got tickets for them coming up. Ghost, going to see them next week, is pretty much as soon as I get back from Vegas. I'm going to check out Ghost in Montclair, New Jersey. John Wiederhorn, coincidentally, who was on today's show, will be joining me for that show. And that's a lot of, there's other stuff too I'm forgetting, but whatever. Anyways, that'll do it for today. Guys, have a great afternoon, and support Rich Ward's Stuck Mojo Pledge Music campaign. Do me a favor and go make a pledge there. All right. Talk to you later.